It's our desire when we stand before the Lord to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." If you got your Bible this morning, go to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I want to read a few verses. The world has an incorrect view of the heart. And there's something that I've heard several times over the past few months. I've seen it on cards. I've seen it signed on t-shirts. I've seen it signed on tabletops, on posters. And it's generally written to students who are graduating. The most common, most troubling comment, statement, or quote that I've heard or saw is, "Be true to yourself." And then right beside that, I see, "Follow your heart." But I want to do my very best with the Word of God this morning to show you how false and upside down that statement is. And I'm not saying it because I want to be harsh, but I think we need to understand what the Word of God teaches us. And we need to understand our own heart. And sometimes I don't think that people really do understand their heart. That's why I want to read to you this morning in Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, lead your heart. And that's basically what the Bible teaches us, is that we should lead our heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20, we're going to read through verse number 27. And our text verse this morning is going to be verse number 23, and of course, we got scripture all over the Bible that we're going to try to get. And when I started studying this, I'm going to be honest with you, I really quickly got overwhelmed. But in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20, says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And put away from thee a froward mouth, a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, go back to the 23rd verse, and let's read that verse again. The first part of the verse, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." You see, I do believe the world has an incorrect view. Now, sometimes we say, "Well, if I follow my heart..." Well, here's the point. Your heart's got to be led by the right substance. Amen. It's got to be led by the Lord. It can't be led by our emotion. It can't be led by our feelings. And, you know, so many things we hear that we really need to reconsider. And the first one is, be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Now, let's question for just a minute. What does that mean? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 2 and look at a verse of Scripture. Now, they're probably going to put as many of these as they can on the screen. In a minute, I may be going through them too fast for that. But in Proverbs 18, verse number 2, here's what the Bible says. It says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, you ask them, "Well, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm not sure right now. I'm just trying to find myself." Well, let me tell you, if you're here this morning, you're right here. You're right here. Rather than trying to find ourselves, here's what I think we need to do. We need to find the will of God for our lives as individuals. You see, one thing I believe for every young person, but I think, you know, I believe it for all you young people. God's got a plan for your life. But let me tell you something, you mature people. God's got a plan for your life. Oh, yeah. You say, "Well, I've served my time. I've did this. I've did that." You don't ever graduate from Sunday school. Amen. And I don't believe preachers ever retire. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think preachers retire. Just like Brother Perry and I were talking yesterday, the more we talked, the more excited I got. When a man's got the preacher in him, he's going to preach. He can't help it. You know, we need to find God, not ourselves. And when we find God and we follow Him, I want to tell you something. You can get excited about life. You can get excited about serving. You can just get excited about being in the house of God. See, when I hear the phrase, be true to yourself, and I saw it, I heard it, and so many times, and this is what people say, you know, you do what you want to do. Don't listen to nobody else. Don't listen to your mom and daddy. Don't listen to your Sunday school teacher. Don't listen to that old preacher. He's an old fogey. I'm an old fogey. I admit it. I tell my wife sometimes, Brother Thomas, I'm a dinosaur. I know it. But I'm not ashamed of it. You see, when I hear the words, be true to yourself, I immediately think of the scripture that God has used to help me more in my life than any other. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse number 6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, if you want a life verse, there's you a life verse. If you want to set out and find the path of your life, I don't care if you're right out of high school, if you're right out of college, if you're trying to determine who you're going to marry, if you're trying to determine where you're going to work, there's you a life verse. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Because if you acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. And I could park there, but I can't. I got too much ground to cover. Let's go to the next one. First, be true to yourself. The second one is follow your heart. Now, here's the thing about following your heart, and I want you to understand this. Following your heart is a formula for disaster. Because if you follow your heart, you most likely, especially, now here's the thing, if God's in the midst and He's guiding you and He's leading you, He's going to lead your heart. Okay, that's when you follow it. But if you follow your heart and God is not absolutely number one in your life, you are headed for trouble. You know what you're going to do? You're going to marry the wrong person. You're going to work at the wrong place. You're going to go to the wrong church. You're going to make wrong decisions if you follow your heart. Because I'm going to show you just a minute what the Bible says about your heart. Because the Bible talks about your heart. See, God does not want us to follow our heart. God wants us to allow Him to lead our heart. You see, you ever heard the saying? I've heard it. This is the word. This comes out of the same mouth. Be true to yourself. You might as well say, if it feels good, do it. Let me tell you what's going to happen if it feels good, do it. You're going to have hurt and pain in your life. You're going to go down the wrong path and you're going to go in the wrong direction. See, when I began to study this, it got so overwhelming, and here's why. The Bible has so many things to say about the heart. See, when I began to look at it and I took my concordance and I got it out, I found that the word heart is mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible 762 times. Now, I'm not going to read 762 verses, but I'm going to read some in just a minute. Now, here's one you really need to understand. This is Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? Now that's what the Bible says about our heart. That's especially a heart that's never known Christ. But I want to tell you something, folks. That's true of a heart that's not being led by Christ. In Genesis chapter 8, 21, the Lord made a statement here that we find in the book of Genesis, and this is after that He saw that every imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. He said, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. But then, of course, we know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and after they landed, they came out and they made a sacrifice. And here's what the Lord said. It says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. This is Genesis 8:21. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Well, praise God for that, folks. Amen. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite everything that is as I have done. Now that's a promise from God. There's a rainbow that we see. Yesterday I was working outside. I was washing cars. I don't like to do that. We need to have a car wash, young people. But I was washing cars and I saw the rainbow. Now, I don't know what you think about when you see the rainbow, but I think about the promise that God made. I don't know what you think about when you see the stars, but I think about God. God said every imagination of his heart is evil from his youth. Proverbs 12:8 says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Then Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Proverbs 14:23 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Proverbs 15:23 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the first part of the verse, it says, as he, man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. You come to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the latter part of the verse, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You go down to verse 35 that says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then Proverbs 23 and verse 9, and we could use this one right here just as a text. It says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. You know, you don't ever find it telling you to follow your heart. What does it tell you? Remember 4:23, the first part of the verse says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And then in Proverbs 23:9, it says, be wise and guide thine heart in the way. See, you can't follow your heart. I've had people come to me and they fill in the blank and they say, well, God told me. There's so many times I've said, I don't believe God told you that. You know why I don't believe God told you that? Because what you say God told you is in direct conflict with the Word of God. Let me tell you something. God's not going to tell you something that's in direct conflict with His Word. See, people are following their heart and they're not asking God to guide their heart. That's why people are making decisions and they're giving God a bad name because they say, God told me to do it. God didn't tell you to do it if it's in conflict with His Word. Amen. You see, who we really are comes from the depths of our heart, from our inner being and from our soul. And here's something I think we really need to get a hold of. If we look at the vastness of God, that God is infinite. Now we are a body. We are a body that has a soul. Right? Well, maybe we need to look at it this way. Maybe we need to understand that we are a soul that has a temporary body. You see, because one thing certainly is going to happen is this body is going to pass. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's cursed. And every day as we progress and we get older, it changes, right? Amen. Let me tell you something about your soul. It's going to live forever. Amen. And if we get to the understanding that we are not a body that has a soul, but a soul that has a body, what are people doing when they say, well, if I follow my heart, they're following the fleshly part, not the spiritual part. That's why you got to allow God to lead your heart. Now, I'll tell you something else the Bible teaches us. When we got saved by the grace of God, we got a new heart. A heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. He took out that old stony heart. And you know what he did? He put in a heart that he could mold, a heart that could be led. You know, that's what it means to be born again, is to be made alive. And what God wants us to do and understand is we need to allow God to lead our heart. Proverbs 23:9 says, guide thine heart in the way. You see, leading your heart is a choice. You say, really? Yes. Are we going to allow God to lead our heart? See, leading your heart is a choice. Leading your heart is also taking responsibility. It's taking responsibility that we might listen to what God is saying to us. But there's a problem. Leading your heart, it requires action. Well, how? Three things that I want us to consider when it comes to leading your heart. When we lead our heart, number one, we lead our heart by what we feed our heart. Now think about that for just a minute. I heard a man say recently, he said, if you want to keep getting the same results, keep doing the same things. How many people have went down to the Walmart or the Best Buy and they buy a computer and they take it home and they don't ever program it? Or what they put in it is not good. It's kind of like this, garbage in, garbage out. You see, we lead our heart by what we feed our heart. In Matthew 1:19, verse 11, the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Tell you something I like about Bible school. We're going to feed these children the Word of God. We're going to take the Word of God and we're going to pour it on them. And we've done it throughout the year in Awanas. We do it in youth. You know, and I believe that when you come into the house of God, you need the Word of God. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, could you imagine church without the Word of God? There are places getting that way. It's getting to where they say, well, we don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Well, let me tell you something, church. It's not church anymore.
Amen.
Okay. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18 to 19 says this. But those things which proceed out of the heart, mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Now what does the Bible say? It says if you allow your heart to go on without the Lord and you don't put the right things in it, these are the things that are going to come out of it. You see, what we put in our heart will come out. It's going to come out when we're under pressure. It's going to come out when we face trials. It's going to come out when we face temptation. So consequently, we must put the right things in. See, we must feed our heart a steady diet of the Word of God. That's what we need. You know, I want the Word of God. I want God to speak to me. I don't ever want God to leave me alone.
Amen.
See, because the Word, it can be trusted. Now, let me tell you something. And young people, I hope y'all understand this. You can't always trust your emotions.
Right.
You can't. Because sometimes what happens is we allow our hearts to be in the wrong place. And our emotions begin to be led in the wrong direction. And when our emotions are led against the Word of God, I'll tell you an ultimate test, and I've faced this test. It's when your emotions are in direct conflict with this book. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and He gives you a choice. Are you going to follow me and let me lead your heart, or are you going to follow your own heart? See, at one time I was in a relationship with someone that I thought was right. But the Holy Spirit came to me and said, don't matter how you feel, here's what I feel. And when God spoke to me, I had to make a decision. Am I going to let God lead my heart? Or am I going to follow my heart? You see, if we put the Word of God in our heart, the Word can be trusted. You see, because if the Word says it, it's true, it will happen, even if we don't understand it. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I got saved, but today I don't feel saved. How many of you ever had a day, I just don't feel saved? I won't tell you. When I get up and I'm heading out that door to work and my feet are hurting, it's kind of like this. Y'all remember bias ply tires? You know, it was bump, bump, bump for the first few miles. It's and eventually it starts working, and it's like the joints get you a little oil here. I get up in the morning. Sometimes I'm facing things. I'm driving, and these crazy drivers, and I know none of y'all like this. And I'm going down the road. I don't feel saved. I'm tired. But here's what I want you to understand. You're not saved by your feelings. Amen. You are saved by truth. Okay? Amen. We lead our heart by what we feed our heart. Number two, we lead our heart by where we seed our heart. Where we seed our heart. And here's what I want you to see. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, and it's talking about the four types of soil. It says, but they on the good ground are they, which with an honest and good heart have heard the word, and they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. You see, there were four types of soil, but only one that brought forth true fruit. You see, when we are planted in the right place, we're going to bring forth fruit. And our heart has to be seeded in the right place. And I think sometimes when, you know, things are not going right and our heart is not right, first thing we need to check is, where am I planted? Am I planted in the right place? See, you can't expect God to lead you in the right direction if you don't know Him as your Savior. You got to know Him first. And if you know Him and you determine that you're going to follow Him, here's what happens. During the process of time, those roots. You ever heard the story, and I've seen it, Bible says, raise up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've seen people get away from God and they stay out there a little while. And I've heard this statement. They say, I just kept going back to my roots. I just kept hearing those words. I couldn't help but remember the sound, as the Bible says in the Old Testament, the sounding again of the mountains. The echo of a mother and dad that prayed for me. The echo of a Sunday school teacher or a youth director or leader that loved me. The echo of a pastor that stood up and proclaimed the Word of God. Even though I was in this place or I was in that place, I kept going back to my roots. You see, we lead our heart by where we seed our heart. Question is, where are your roots grounded? If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you've never began that relationship, those roots, they're on top. There are none. And what does the Scripture say? When the sun rises, it begins to wither. Number three, we lead our heart by where we deed our heart. Now the question is, who owns your heart? Sometimes we give our heart to the wrong things, and sometimes we give our heart to the wrong person. You know, number one, our heart first, it needs to belong to God. Now let me tell you something, everybody here, and this is for any age, you will never, ever have the relationship that you need to have with the person that you're with, that you're spending your life with, or think you want to spend your life with, until God is first in your life. Amen. Because you'll never be able to be the person that you need to be without the Lord. You can say, well, I love them. I didn't say you didn't. Everybody loves their kids. People understand love, but here's the point. If God's not first, He's last. Yep. See, God has to be first, and God wants to own our heart. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say this. They come to me and they say, would you pray for? And they tell about one of their loved ones that's in a bad relationship. They say, pray for my granddaughter, or pray for my grandson. I had a man come to me one time and he was so upset. He said, my daughter is about to marry. And he told me she was about to marry a Muslim. Now you can call me discriminating, but I want to tell you something. That's not God's will. See, if you're raised, the Bible plainly teaches to be ye not unequally yoked together. And the reason that people become unequally yoked is their heart wasn't given to God in the right place. Because if you give your heart to God and you allow God to lead you, He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. That's why sometimes the person you're with, you say, well, I love them. Well, if it ain't God's will, guess what? It ain't going to work. So who owns your heart? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? There's nothing more important than that. Give your heart to the Lord. And here's the point. Remember, we're not a body that has a soul, but we're a soul that has a body. Now, when I look at all this scripture and all these thoughts, do you know that King David, I believe he understood this. There's a scripture over in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, where David, he cried out to the Lord, and he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And know, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then he said this, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer. But when you pray that prayer and you say, God, search me. Look at me, Lord. Reveal to me anything in me that's not pleasing to you, anything that's not right with you. God, just show it to me. And when God does, sometimes it's not pleasant. See, I prayed that prayer and then I prayed this prayer. God, please stop. You see, because sometimes what we get in trouble, we think, well, I got it figured out. I don't need to listen to anything that preacher says. Let me tell you, I stand up here and I just try to follow the Spirit. Some people smile. Some people frown. Some people shake their head. Some people don't believe a word I say. I want to tell you something, my opinion is nothing. I'm giving you so much scripture this morning, you argue with God about it. You know what he said? He said, search my heart. And then he said, lead me. Now, when you get to the point that you're willing to do that, guess what? You're ready. You're ready for God. You're ready for the greatest adventure of your life. When you begin to follow the will of God, and God, let me tell you, God does have a plan for you. I want God to be turned loose in this place. I mean, absolutely turned loose. And here's what we need to do. We need to allow everything that goes on here to be for Him. Everything. Okay? You know, everything we do it for His honor and glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. And we get out of the way and we just say, Lord, what can You do if we absolutely, completely, and totally surrender to Your will? He said, search me. And then He said, lead me. See, we need to let God search us. Now, as we allow God to search our heart, here's some things to do. We must check our heart. You see, where has your heart been this week? Where is your heart right now? See, more than likely, the places your heart has been this week are influencing your thoughts right now. The places you've allowed your heart to go, it's going to determine where your heart's headed. You see, your heart has been, and it will continue to be, influenced by all the things that I've mentioned. And I do believe that you can lead your heart. And I believe that's what God's will is. Now, here's the next thing. You must guard your heart. You must guard your heart. And you say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I had a person come to me one time, and I can remember working in youth several years ago, and from a young age, had a young lady come to me, and she was trying to argue her point as to why she went to a lot of secular places. I'm talking about rough places. She was going there with people that wasn't saved, and she was around things that, you know, and you know the things. I don't have to list them. I'm not God's police. Holy Spirit tell you what to do. And she was going to these places, and she was trying to justify it. She says, well, I go there, and, you know, I might be a witness to them. When you guard your heart, here's what you do. It's like setting a sentry at the door. Said, I'm not going to allow that in. I'm not even going to allow it in. I'm not going to allow myself to be in that place. I'm going to be paying attention. Because what does the Bible say about my heart? Desperately wicked. And who can know it? And if my heart's going to be right, I'm going to have to let God guide my heart. And He's going to have to guide it, and He's going to have to guard it. And the Holy Spirit, I want it to stand at the door of my heart to guard my heart from temptation, from idolatry, from rebellion, from wickedness, and from apostasy. Now, what's apostasy? It's a falling away from a standing position. Do you know in the day and time we're living in today, it's getting to the point that the Bible says this is going to happen. He said there'd come a time when they'd not be able to endure sound doctrine, and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because they cannot endure the truth. Right. See, people still congregating, but they're just saying, tell us something different. Tell me something that makes me feel good. Can I tell you this? And I really liked what Jonathan Wilburn said when he came and he sang here just a little while ago. He got to preaching. He said, I can remember when I was growing up and we'd be outside. You know, you remember riding the, you remember when people pedaled? People don't, kids don't pedal no more. Y'all don't pedal. Y'all ride scooters and electric, everything. But back when we pedaled, we get going fast down them hills. And we'd wreck and we'd get that road rash. And Jonathan Wilburn, he was telling about going into his grandmother, and he said she would get the, you remember the mercurochrome and methylate? Two different kinds. One burnt, one didn't. My mother did this to me. And he'd get it, and you'd ask, is it going to burn? He said, Grandma taught me. If it don't burn, it don't help. You get to the point, you get comfortable going to church and you never get challenged. Guess what? You're not going to church anymore. You might as well go to the club. If God's not speaking to your heart and convicting you, you need to find you another place to go. We want God to guard. You know why I want God to guard my heart? Because if God don't guard my heart, I'll be in trouble. How many do we know that are shipwrecked? What'd Paul say? He said, I keep a watch on my body, lest after I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Next thing you got to do is you got to invest in your heart. See, we invest in the things that are important to us. Here's how you invest in your heart. You come to church. I want to tell you, I've been in church my whole life, and I've heard this in different places from different people. They say, we need to find a way to disciple people. We need, you know, we don't need just get them saved. We need to get them discipled. And I look at them, and I say, Sunday school? Celebrate recovery? We got Bible school? We got Awana? We got youth group? We got a mission trip. We got other ministries in this church that you can get involved in, but you can't disciple somebody that it takes a search committee to find. So you must invest in your heart. My wife, you know, we got to invest in the things that are important to us. Look, my wife reminds me of that. She said, I'm your wife. She's not here today. They're on vacation. Her and my boys, and by the way, they did plan to be here for Bible school, but the schedule didn't work out. But we're going to have a great time, and they're going to have a great time. But she says, I'm your wife. She said, you need to spend some time with me. She said, you need to write me sweet notes. She said, every now and then, I don't care if you even mess up the mirror with lipstick, but do something. So you got to invest in your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we don't put the word of God and the things of God in us, guess what? We're going to get so filled up with the world that our heart is going to lead us in the wrong direction. So what are you invested in? Where is your heart? And this is lastly, and this is most importantly. You must set your heart. Set it. You know, sometimes we got to get to the point that we drive a stake. Or you got to tie a knot in a rope. Or you got to draw a line in the sand. I don't care how you put it. But you just got to decide, I'm going to stand right here. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what they do over there. I don't care what they say. I don't care what people say about me. I'm following Jesus. Amen. What does the song say? I have decided to follow Jesus. I heard a man, he was preaching at a youth group, a youth camp one time, and he said, we're going to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. He said, but here's how we're going to do it. A lot of times, and folks, I'm looking forward to y'all going to camp. I'm going to come up there one night. I can't come every night, but we're going to hear a preacher, right? He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, one at a time. He said, young people, if you want to follow Jesus, he said, I want you to get the songbook. I want you to walk right down here. And we're not going to do it as a group. We're going to do it individually. He said, I want you to sing the first verse of this song. You see, a lot of times, collectively, but here's when you set your heart. You set your heart. If everybody else in the youth group quits, I'm going to follow God. If everybody else out there wants to follow the world, I'm going to follow God. People get mad at me and they want to quit, I'm going to follow God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Here's what you do. You set your heart to do right. You set your heart toward God. You set your heart according to the Word of God. See, if God's true, this book's true. And I have to agree with the book. It's not my book. Let's go back to our starting scripture, if you would get ready with a song. Proverbs 23 and verse 9 says, hear thou, my son, and be wise. And guide thine heart in the way. And then Proverbs 4:23a, it says this, keep thy heart with all diligence. There comes a time when we've got to take and decide where we're going to go. You know, I couldn't help but when I begin to see and hear, there's so many young people and older people, middle-aged people, making decisions every day. But is God leading your heart? I ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet as they play this song. Of course, the altars of this church are always open. I'll tell you, the most important thing you could ever do, is get your heart deeded in the right place. That's to allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And then you say, Lord, I want you to get a hold of my heart. And I want you to help me. And here's something I want you to understand. Without God, I'll never be what I need to be. Ever. But I have to say, Lord, take a hold of my heart. And help me to become the man that you want me to be. And guess what? Like that song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. If you'd like to pray as they play, this is your opportunity.